Ezra 3, verse number 10. Bible says, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He's good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. I want to preach today on the subject mixed emotions, and I would like to, of course, address all of you dads that are here today, but I want to extend to include everyone, and we'll get into the message in just a moment, but let's pray. Our Father, this morning, as we've read the Bible, as we've read the Scriptures, we pray now the Holy Spirit will step in and, Lord, work in hearts today, and may the message today be that which the Spirit of God would use to alert us of what we need spiritually. I pray this morning, if there's someone in this church building right now that is not really saved, I pray that this would be the glad day of their salvation. Lord, encourage your people. Bless the dads that are here. Bless us all, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Father's Day, as we well know. But my target audience today is not just fathers, but it's all men. In fact, I include everyone today in this service, because it'd be rather strange if I'd dismiss everyone right now because this service is just for fathers, so we wouldn't do that. So obviously today, the application and the message applies to all of us. On this particular day, now let's look at the context here. On this particular day of Jewish history, an unusual thing took place. This event caused great emotions. This event caused mixed emotions. You had people that day in that audience that were shouting. Then you had some that were weeping. There was a blending of shouting and weeping to the point that all that could be heard was a muffled sound. Verse number 13, the verse that we've looked at. In other words, some were shouting, some were weeping, and it says that the people shouted with a loud shout, the noise was heard afar off, but what happened? They couldn't discern the noise. It also says in that verse. So it was a muffled sound that was being heard. The reason for the mixed emotions was this. The foundation of the temple was laid, and the people looked upon it, and their emotions went wild. Some of the old people wept, and some of the young people shouted. You had those that wept and those that shouted. The interesting thing, though, when you read out this text, is that the shouters and the weepers were both right and wrong at the same time. They were right and wrong at the same time. And I'll attempt to explain what I just said. It was perhaps all right to shout, but maybe it wasn't. And maybe it was all right to weep, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe the old men who wept were steeped on the past and were not willing to embrace the present. And they should have been rejoicing that at least the new foundation of the new temple had been laid, and that was a good start. So the old men, instead of weeping, they should have been shouting too, because they ought to have had the attitude, well, thank God, even though we don't have the old temple, we still have the foundation of the new temple. And we've at least got a start. Maybe the old men had a point, though, when they wept because the glory had departed. Maybe they had a point. Maybe the young men had a right to shout because they had a reason to rejoice in what God was doing and what God was doing to do, going to do. Maybe, though, the young men needed to weep because the foundation was built and the work halted for 15 years. When you read it out and compare it to Ezra's notes under inspiration, you'll find that the foundation of the temple was laid and 15 years lapsed before anything was done. So it could be maybe the young men should have not simply shouted, maybe they should have wept too, because they were not willing to couple their responsibility with what needed to be done. I guess we need to think before we weep. And I guess we need to think before we shout. See, there's a lot that we can see here. We need to get emotional, but for the right reason. I believe emotions are good, but there needs to be a reason. I think today, on this Father's Day, we need to be men of emotions, because we're really not worth a plug nickel if something doesn't stir us up. And the right things should provoke emotions. Now, I would mention that the old men are not always right, and I would mention that young men are not always wrong. You see, there's several ways of looking at this. Just because they were old men and they wept for the right reason doesn't mean that they were totally right either. And just because the young men were shouting and they were young, that did not necessarily mean that they didn't have something to shout about. So old people are not always right, and young people are not always wrong. It all depends on the wisdom behind what we do. When emotions are accompanied with a burden and a passion for God's work, I'd say today, go ahead and shout. I'd say, go ahead and weep. When our emotions are for the right reason, when we look today at our church and see things that aren't right, we need to weep and pray that God will get things moving. When we look at our families and see that things are not right, we need to weep over it, and then we need to do something about it. In other words, we need emotions to accompany our activity. It's okay to shout if it's for the right reason. And it's okay to weep if it's for the right reason. This mixed audience that day had mixed emotions, and let me tell you what I take away from this message as far as some application is concerned. Men, it's okay to cry, and men, it's okay to shout as long as you know what you're crying and shouting about. Men, we need to get emotional about the work of God. We really do. We need to get emotional about the work of God. I'm going to outline this as practical and as simple as I know how and give you a West Virginia outline. No alliteration intended today, just some simple points. First of all, may I say I love every father who's here today. And I trust and I pray that God will bless the fathers of the Smith Grove Baptist Church and all the grandfathers. And you love the Lord and serve God. First simple point is this. The old men wept. Verse 12. Many of the priests, Levites, and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the foundation of the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes wept with a loud voice, and many shouted for joy. The old men wept. You know, I think it's good that old men weep. Sometimes old men get hard and calloused. Old men lose their emotions. Old men lose their passion for God's work. I think it's good when old men weep. Most of us that are getting older, in fact, all of us are getting older, tears become more frequent when we stop and think about what's going on in life. These old men wept. I wonder why. Well, I think they were haunted by the ghosts of the past. I think these old men remembered the first temple with all of its grandeur. They were comparing the new foundation of the new temple with the old Solomonic temple that had all of its glory and had all of its grandeur and had everything going for it. And now all they see is a little simple foundation. These old men, they remembered a temple that housed the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. They remembered that within that ark were tablets containing the law of God handed down to Moses. They remembered the Shekinah glory, the great cloud that filled the first temple, and that Solomon's temple was literally the house of God. Those old men remembered that early temple. They had a cause to weep because the glory days were over. They could not see, they could not sense, they could not understand any new glory associated with the new temple. They wept because the glory days were over. I believe I can easily bring this into transition of thought. Many older people today remember the glory days of the church. A time when the Word of God and a time when the house of God was held in high regard. We remember a time when the fear of God was in the community, and even the lost respected the things of God. We remember a time when it wasn't as difficult to see people saved, and God's people to get more excited about seeing people saved and serving God. We remember the time. Many of us today look at the state of Christendom and we have a broken heart and long for the things that have passed. We should weep over what has been lost, but realize there's still revival to be had in a local church. You and I can look back, and we can long for what we've lost. But there's nowhere in all the Bible but what by God's grace things can still be restored, and we can still see victory. I believe today with all of my heart, or I would resign and not preach again. I believe that the Smith Grove Baptist Church can still have revival. I believe we can still see people saved. I believe we can still see revival. I believe we can still see church growth. I'll tell you, my friend, we look back, we grieve, but let's roll up our sleeves and do something about what needs to be done today. The old men wept. The sorrow of memory needs to be combined with the joy of hope. The old men still should have rejoiced that the new foundation temple had been laid, had been built, and the new work needed to be done. They wept, but they still had cause to shout. They didn't have to stay with their tears. They could still have said, I thank God. What we've lost, we've still got the beginning of a new temple. There's still some possibility. We can still see some things done. God help us all to be crippled by the past to the point where we're not willing to address the need of the present and what needs to be done in the future. The old men wept. Secondly, the young men shouted. Verse number 11. The young men shouted. They sang together for course and praising and giving thanks to the Lord because He's good, His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout. This included not just young men, but all the people. This is not just a man thing. Because we see here all the people. So they shouted. But I'm just simply emphasizing, though, two things The old men shouted, old men wept, the young men shouted to draw a contrast between the old and the young men. The young men shouted. The question comes up, why did they shout? Well, I'll give you some reasons. First of all, the young men could not remember the former temple. Do you know that would have been roughly 50 years ago? That would have been 50 years ago. These young men could not remember the former temple. They had no idea what it had looked like or the glory that had been associated with it. The young men didn't know. They had no idea what Solomon's temple would have looked like. They did have something to shout about, though. And this is where I come down on to commend the young men. Let me commend the young men, if I could. They remembered something that caused them to shout now. They remembered a life of captivity. They remembered bondage in a foreign land. They could look back. They could remember the Babylonian captivity. They could remember all those years being separated from their homeland. They could associate with what the psalmist one time said. They hang their harps in the willows. They couldn't sing the Lord's song in a strange land. Those young men, they couldn't remember the temple, but they could remember the bondage. And no wonder they were prone to shout. I mean, to think that now, under Persian rule, they were able to go back to the land. They were now able to start work on the temple. The captivity was officially over. No wonder they shouted. They're saying, thank God, we're no longer in Babylon. We're now in the land. They had something to shout about. They remembered the captivity. They remembered the slavery. The temple foundation was now built, and that was a new beginning. They were thankful for what they now had. Thankful for what they now had. They could remember the old days, but they could see the new day of opportunity. They had no frame of reference concerning the old days, but they were surely excited about what was going to do in this day. They had something to shout about. Now let me say this to all of us today, men, women, boys, girls, children, everybody's here. Every saved person today in this building has every reason to shout. I'll tell you, my friend, you and I have been brought out of bondage. We've been brought out of captivity. We've been brought out of a miserable life of sin. We've been set free. Oh, we have something to shout about this morning. We ought to, if we don't know how to say hallelujah or amen, we ought to, when we get home, we ought to start practicing it. Stand before a mirror if you have to. Learn to say hallelujah. Learn to say amen. Learn to say praise the Lord. And then bring it to church and cut loose sometime. Maybe it'll excite other people. We've been brought out of bondage. We've been set free by God's grace. We've been blessed today. We have a church to go to. We have our health. We have our mind, at least. That might be questionable. I want to ask y'all, why were you looking at me when you laughed? We have something today to shout about. And this is not just a man thing. This is all of us. You know, it's easy, going back now to the text, it's easy to err on either side of this issue here. You have the weepers. You had the shouters. Some people are so caught up in the past, they cannot get excited about what God's doing in the present. The bottom line is this. The past is gone. We live in the present. We need to look back and glean what we can from the days gone by. And then we need to learn how to live in the here and now. But here comes a question, though. Does that mean that we have a right to change, to fit in with the times. It sure doesn't. Now, it may mean that we have a need of changing in a degree that'll make us more godly. Amen. And cause our church to be more evangelistic and lead to more people being saved. Some changes are good, you see. The right kind of tradition is worth keeping. However, I believe that our Bible is still the right Bible, don't you? I believe that our hymn books are still important. I believe that preaching is still more important than drama presentations, don't you? I believe that holiness is more important than happiness, and that people brought to church by conviction will be more stable than those that are brought to church by mere emotions. We believe that. But the old and the young need to know that what God was doing in a grandfather's day, He's still doing today. The way that God saved people in grandfather's days is the way that God is saving people now. It still takes the Bible. It still takes conviction. It still takes the Spirit of God. It still takes a movement of God. Nobody has ever been saved except one way. Through faith in Jesus Christ, brought on by the convicting power of the Spirit of God. What God did in grandfather's days in saving souls, God's doing exactly the same way today. That hasn't changed. Society may have changed. The church may have changed in many ways, some for good and some for bad. The world has changed, but God cannot and will not and never will change, because Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. God can't change. I am the Lord, I change not. That's Bible all the way. The old men wept. The young men shouted. My third West Virginia point is this. The old men and the young men were both wrong. The old men and the young men were both wrong when you look at it totally. The young men were squandering their opportunities that God gave them. The young men shouted because the foundation of the temple was laid, but the problem was the work was halted. The work wasn't done. Let me tell you something. You can't build a house if you go no further than the foundation. There's got to be that superstructure. You've got to do more than lay the foundation and rest on your laurels and say, oh, thank God, praise the Lord, hallelujah, we've got a foundation. No, you need the whole house. Some people spend all their life, it seems, building foundations, but never go beyond that. The young men were shouting. They should have wept at some point in time and say, now it's time to get busy. For 15 years, they went about their lives. Read Ezra and Nehemiah. They'll tell you. For 15 years, the work quit. They went about their lives. They built their own houses. They dwelt in what the Bible calls sealed houses. They built the foundation of the temple and then put most of the major effort after that on their own house. They quit the work on God's house and devoted all their time after that for 15 years on their house. Now, boy, if that isn't a sermon. I think it's important that we have houses to live in. And it's important that we respect our physical houses, and we do, you know, we keep them up and all that because we are custodians. But it's also wise that we realize that we're temporal dwellers too, though. These earthly houses that we're living in, we're not going to live in forever. But some people have more attention on their earthly houses than they do God's house. And that is a fact that cannot be denied. They're like these young men. they get to a good start, but then they get sidetracked by all these other things, and the next thing you know, they've lost traction spiritually. And God's work and God's house is put on the burner. These young men, while they shouted, they needed to time out a little bit, reflect on how far they were going with the work, and then maybe weep a little bit and get on their knees and ask God to help them to get the job done. So I'm saying here today, here we have a case of the young men were not totally right. The weepers didn't move forward. That was what happened. The weepers didn't move forward. The old men weren't willing to move forward. Maybe if I phrase it like this, we'll see it. The weepers didn't move forward and the shouters didn't finish what they started. Weepers didn't move forward. They lived in the past. They dwelled on the glory days of the past. That's where they lived. They need to move forward, you see. And then the shouters, they didn't finish what they started. So both of them were wrong. Now, finally, and everybody gets that point, finally. They all had reason to shout, and they all had reason to weep. The greatest need, though, is to know what matters the most and do what God would have us to do. This is Father's Day today. And let me give you a verse, fathers, to take home with you and to apply to your hearts. And it's so true and it's so helpful. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse number 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. On this Father's Day, may I make this application. God is looking for men. This church would be greatly crippled and would not survive without its women, without the women of faith. But what we need today in this church, and I say churches everywhere, is revival in manpower. A revival on the part of men to step up to the plate, to lead as God called us to lead, to love as God called us to love, to set the example as God called us to set the example. And let's make sure men, We take it from the top down. We understand today, in order to do any of that, we need to first of all know the Lord. We need Christ in our lives. And then in the church, step up to the plate, lead as God intended, read the New Testament along that line, and be leaders, be husbands, set the proper example. And I'll tell you, the day will come that you'll rejoice and thank God for it. Because there's nothing any greater than knowing Christ, serving Him, and living in the center of His will. And you and I today as fathers do have a responsibility upon us, given to us by Scripture, that we need to be setting that example in the cute way in our homes and in our church. And the reason why in the churches that you find so many women having to do everything is because you don't have enough men that are willing to step forward and say, I want to get involved too. And that is a fact, and no one can deny that. Father's Day, take it as a blessing to be a father, but take it as a challenge to be a better father. The old men wept. They should have also shouted. The young men shouted, they should have also wept. But let's be sure that our emotions are motivated by the right things.